This is the America's Quarterly Podcast. I'm Brian Winter. Venezuela's July 28th election could be a game changer, even though virtually no one expects the voting to be free or fair. In today's episode, we'll look at what Nicolas Maduro and the opposition are hoping to accomplish.
Another part of the strategy of the Maduro's strategy is to show a divided opposition. And that's the reason they make like 10 other candidates register for the election. Most of them are even unknown for the people. If you ask who's this guy, they don't know who the guy is. So that's, giving the idea that the opposition is segmented in too many pieces, and in that way it's impossible to defeat Maduro.
Let me start by saying it's hard to do an episode of this podcast on Venezuela's election, because there are a lot of people who say we shouldn't even be calling it an election. The Maduro dictatorship has disqualified multiple opposition candidates from running. It has jailed several of their campaign aides. It controls the media, the street, and is doing everything within its reach to try to stay in power. But here's what we know. There will be voting on July 28th, and most of the opposition, at least for now, does plan to participate. So why take part in an election that is likely to be a sham? Well, that's part of what we plan to discuss on the podcast today. It's clear that the opposition is playing a long game here, trying to reestablish its connection with the Venezuelan people, even if their preferred candidate, Maria Corina Machado, is not allowed to run. Both sides seem to think they can get something out of this election, or pseudo-election, and are kind of spinning the wheel a bit to see what happens. Today on the podcast, we hope to understand everybody's motives a little bit better. What Maduro is looking for, what risks he may run by holding this election, and what is going on behind the curtains with the opposition. Who are they likely to support at this stage, with Machado out of the race? We'll also talk about the role of the United States and the Biden administration. Our guest is José Vicente Carrasquero, a Venezuelan mathematician and political scientist. Like so many Venezuelans, José Vicente now lives in the United States, where he teaches at Miami-Dade College. But he follows political moves in Caracas closely and can therefore give us an informed view of what's going on behind the scenes. So, José Vicente, as I said in the introduction, this is an election that virtually all observers agree is unlikely to be free or fair. So my first question for you is, what at this stage do you think Nicolás Maduro is trying to accomplish by holding this election? What is his strategy right now?
Well, Maduro has no people's support in Venezuela right now. All the polls show Maduro well below 20%. So his strategy is to prevent people to going out to vote. Why? Well, basically because he knows that the higher the abstention rate, the higher the possibility of him winning the election. Why is he doing this? Well, basically because it's what he did in 2018. In 2018, he called again elections, and in that election, he put apart, he left out the majority of people wanting to vote. If you check what's happening with Venezuelans living outside the country, you will find that there is no an efficient way to register these people to vote. And you are talking to something close to 2 million votes.
What I'm hearing from you, José Vicente, is that Maduro and his cohort, they control a lot of things. They can disqualify candidates. They can put their aides in jail, as they have recently with some of Maria Corina Machado's campaign aides. They can do all sorts of things. But from what I can tell, we don't actually believe that they can control the counting of the votes. Because what a lot of dictators would do in this situation is just rig the vote. But it sounds like Venezuela is actually a bit different in this sense, that if somehow they have an election that is minimally fair, that Maduro really could lose. Is that the case?
Of course. And what happened, I'm going to say something very controversial, and most of my friends are going to take their goals of the same again with his ideas. The electoral system is good in what it has to do, which is voting counting. It will count the votes casted by the people. To make it easier, they need abstention. They need people not to go and to vote. The higher, as I told you before, the abstention, the better for them, because they can put votes and then make the system tell them what they want to hear. We win. We won. It happened in 2015. In 2015, the opposition won 112 representatives to the National Assembly. And that happened because the system worked and works, and the opposition had people in the, you know, in all the voting centers, and they were able to supervise the process. It's what Maduro does not want. He doesn't want the European Union coming to Venezuela to see the election. They don't want the Carter's group to come to Venezuela to check on the elections, basically because they need to change the results. Basically, because it's very difficult to explain people why a candidate shows 50-something percent in a poll, and the other shows 7-8, and suddenly the guy with 7 is the winner. That's very difficult to explain to the people.
So it's actually a very delicate and somewhat fragile game that Maduro is trying to play, because he knows that the counting of votes is going to be very hard to rig. And so he has to do everything before Election Day to ensure that he has no chance of losing. So tell us what's going on with the opposition. Here's what we know. Maria Corina Machado, the leader of the opposition, she got a clear mandate in the primaries last year, and she's very popular. So, of course, electoral authorities disqualified her. After that, we saw a sequence of disqualifications of other candidates that had Maria Corina's support. Suddenly, though, this week, as we record this, Manuel Rosales, the government of the state of Zulia, surprised many when he broke ranks and decided to register as a candidate. And he hasn't yet, at least, been disqualified. And again, as we record this, there's news that Maria Corina could be in negotiations with him if he were to win. He has said if Maria Corina could be a candidate or appoint a successor, he would yield his candidacy. So, you know, there's some sort of back and forth going on here, but it still seems very unclear. So tell us about him. I mean, is Rosales really the one we should be watching?
And let me tell you something, Brian. If Maria Corina says that she is supporting Rosales as a presidential candidate, Rosales would win easily to Maduro. Manuel Rosales has been governor of Zulia State. It's the biggest state in terms of population in Venezuela. He has been a mayor, governor, and he even was the presidential candidate in the 2006 election. So he's a politician that has been running around. He had to go out to exile in 2007 or 8, basically because Chavez ordered to put him into jail. And then he could arrange to come back to Venezuela, paying, you know, a few months in jail. But and he was back into politics. He won the election in Zulia 2 years ago, and he is now Zulia's governor. He is a politician. He is from the opposition. What people say is that he is, in a way, close to Maduro. Well, basically because he is a politician. So if he meets with Maduro in a saloon, he's going to say, "Hello, Maduro, how are you?" It doesn't mean that he wants Maduro. It doesn't mean that he is crazy about Maduro, but he's a politician, and politicians do that.
But for this same reason, what I'm hearing is that Rosales is a figure that is seen with skepticism by some within the opposition. This is an opposition that has been, it is actually somewhat united right now, or has been over the last year, but prior to that was famous for its internal divisions.
Yeah, that's another part of the strategy of the Maduro's strategy is to show a divided opposition. And that's the reason they make like 10 other candidates register for the election. Most of them are even unknown for the people. If you ask who's this guy, they don't know who the guy is. So that's, giving the idea that the opposition is segmented in too many pieces, and in that way it's impossible to defeat Maduro. There is a huge part of that opposition, you could say easily 85% of that opposition, that is willing to support a candidate that could defeat Maduro on July 28th.
And how would you describe this opposition?
We have in Venezuela one opposition that has been against the Chavismo and against Maduro since day one. And there is another opposition that has been part of Chavez and Maduro's game. They call themselves opposition, but in a way they are what Maduro and Chavez needed to say, we have a democracy. We have here some political parties. They even have a representation in the Congress. Not too much, but they are there. That's what creates a theater of democracy. We have a facade of democracy in Venezuela. For that, we need these more political parties that at the same time give the sensation that we have a divided opposition. There is other people, other political parties that have been behind a ballot that we call the MUD, which is basically a group of political parties that have been supporting the most important candidate against Maduro. This group is the group that is now conformed by people from Voluntad Popular, Primera Justicia, the old Acción Democrática, not the new one. That group is very important and is the group that is behind Maria Corina. It's the group that participated in the primaries in October 22nd. And that participation was a surprise for the government. It got to 2.6 million people voting in the, in a difficult Venezuela where people do not have gas to put to their cars, or it's very difficult to move around, to get 2.6 million votes. That is what make Maduro adopt this strategy. We don't want that people to go out and vote.
You believe then that Maria Corina is the decisive figure right now, that whoever she supports is likely to win?
For sure. Maduro has created in Maria Corina the most important elector in the Venezuelan political system in this moment. Whoever Maria Corina says is her candidate is going to win.
And what do you think her current strategy is?
Out of her speech on Sunday, you can say that she is having conversations with the group of countries supporting the agreement, the Barbados agreement, and there is a possibility, she sees a possibility of these countries to create a pressure on Maduro to allow her inscription. The problem is that you cannot spend too much time because the elections are around the corner. It's July 28th is 3 months from now. So you have to keep moving to maintain people you know, willing to participate, willing to vote to support the change they want for Venezuela.
We'll be back with more after a short break. The America Society's Art Gallery at 680 Park Avenue in New York is a truly amazing venue for art from Latin America and the Caribbean. Right now, the gallery is showing the second part of the exhibition, El Dorado Myths of Gold, which presents artworks from the pre-colonial period to today and uses the myth of the so-called Golden City as a framework for understanding the Americas. El Dorado Myths of Gold will be on view until May 18th, 2024. Jose Vicente, can you take us a little bit further inside the conversations that are happening in the opposition right now? I know that you're there in South Florida, but you have, you know, lots of friends and family back in Venezuela. You know, what are people saying right now about this election? Are they paying attention? Is there any hope that this is a process that could somehow lead to change, or is it being viewed with the same cynicism and perhaps exhaustion that we've heard coming out of Venezuela for so many years?
I am pretty sure, for what I know from the political actors, that there is a conversation with the international community. Maria Corina says that she wrote a letter to the Prime Minister of Norway. She has been, you know, talking with other presidents around the world and former presidents. She has been trying to convince the international public opinion that there is a need for an intervention in Venezuela, not a military intervention, not a political intervention, being strong in asking Maduro to create the conditions for a fair election. That means that on the other side, inside the country, I am pretty sure that there are conversations between Rosales and Maria Corina.
A delicate question for you, Jose Vicente. Don't you wonder if we're all being suckered again, believing this, you know, that there's this window of opportunity that maybe under certain conditions, if it's the right figure, then maybe this leads somehow to Maduro's departure, when all evidence of the last 10 plus years, at least, suggests the contrary, suggests that Maduro, at the end of the day, is going to do whatever is necessary to make sure that he doesn't lose power.
Yes, but the game here is to make it evident that he stole the election. You have to get Maduro to show the international community what he's really doing.
But what exactly is the point of that? Because that was the case in 2018. I mean, that was a openly stolen election, and here we are 6 years later, and he's still in power.
Sun Tzu or other modern political philosophers could say to Maduro, you cannot close all the exits to liberty, because people will fight back. Maduro is under the scrutiny of the international court, is being watched by different countries, and if he steals this election and it's too evident, you could have a very bad, violent situation in Venezuela. On the other hand, Americans want to stop migration from Venezuela to the United States. And they have to be clear, I am not sure if they are, they have to be clear that Maduro is not going to stop that problem from happening to the United States. If they want that to stop, they need a new government. They need new people in Miraflores. And that's for sure.
Well, and you referenced earlier the fact that Maria Corina Machado is having conversations with international governments, among them, of course, Washington. But there have been some developments on that front, too, that are kind of pushing in the other direction. Last year, the U.S. government eased sanctions on Venezuela's oil sector, but they conditioned that to these elections being free and fair. And as we've covered, that is not what is happening. But a recent report in the Wall Street Journal, quoting unnamed sources, suggested that the U.S. government may keep the sanctions relief anyway when it comes up for review in the next few weeks. Why do you think that is? What's your view right now of the dynamic with the Biden administration, and why are they acting the way they are?
Well, that's going to be a point for the American elections, basically because Biden and his administration is telling Americans and the world that it's okay to have a dictator there as long as they sell us oil. With a huge problem, and the huge problem is that Venezuela is selling to the United States only 150,000 oil barrels. It means nothing. So you have to check on the balance of allowing these guys to continue to do business, oil business with the United States, or to refrain from doing those businesses. Of course, I know that there is a pressure of the oil companies. They, you know, they can get Venezuelan oil and make money and get back some debts that the Venezuelan government have with them. But again, it's a, you know, a very difficult situation for Biden, and that's a flag that's going to be recovered right away by Donald Trump.
My personal view is that the Biden administration would very much like to see a democratic transition in Venezuela. But what it seems like is happening right now is they're putting the priorities of trying to slow down Venezuelan immigration and perhaps gasoline prices in the United States. Those are more important right now to this administration.
Yeah, I agree with you, but none of them are going to happen with Maduro in power. They have to learn that. I don't know what make it difficult for them to understand that you are not doing business with a politician. You are doing business with Al Capone. You are doing business with the mafia guy. You are not working with a people that is going to respect his word. So it's a, you know, doing politics with these guys is very difficult. And you see that in the development of the Barbados agreement. There has been no respect for the agreement. America gave everything, and they got nothing back from Venezuela other than the nine Americans that came back to the United States. That's very important, of course. But what happened with all the other stuff that were not other than that paying attention and respect the Venezuelan constitution?
Jose Vicente, thank you for joining us on the AQ podcast.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
Thank you for listening to the America's Quarterly Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review, give us a rating, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. The America's Quarterly Podcast is produced by Luisa Franco and edited in partnership with Human Group Media.